Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody? We're awake and ready to go today. I love it. You feeling good? Good, good. I'm glad that you're here. Whether you're with us in the room right now, whether you're joining us live on the stream or on Spotify, the podcast, wherever you are a little bit later, we love you too, and we're glad that you're here with us as we get ready to open up the Word of God together. And as we begin, I just want to ask you a question. You ever had God punch you directly in the mouth? Yeah. Yeah, that happened to me this week. I'll tell you the story in a minute. And before we get in too far into it, let's pray, okay? God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here together and praise your name. And thank you for what you've done in our lives, what you've already done here this morning, and what you're about to do now. God, we ask that your Spirit would fill this place. We love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. So we've been talking about Saul, yeah, the reboot that happened in his life and all this kind of thing. And you may have noticed that this last year has been a fairly large adjustment for me. There's a couple things that have changed in my life. And I came into the summer months. I wrote this sermon 3 months ago. That's how you know the Holy Spirit's working. You'll see it in a second, okay? I came into the summer months, and I was completely wrung out, just toast. Because, you know, we had just finished a string of events here at the church. I think we had 9 weeks in a row where we had some kind of special event in addition to what we were doing, just the normal Sunday service kind of thing. And then I was getting ready to go out of the country, and not just go out of the country, but like lead a group of people on a mission trip to Colombia, which is one of my favorite places to go. I love doing that. But if I'm real honest with you, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready at all. I was exhausted physically, spiritually, emotionally, all of the ways. But I knew that the trip was going to be good. I knew it was going to be good for me. It is every time in more ways than one. You know, going to Colombia has a way of renewing my faith. It's a week where I'm spent solely focused on building the kingdom, just locked in on what does God want me to do right now in this moment, and there's not really anything else. We go there with the purpose of bringing glory to God, making disciples of the nations. It's a week with no distractions. We're just locked in. And there are not words for how restorative that kind of thing is for your soul. And if you talk to anybody who went on that trip, most of them are here or will be shortly, ask them and they'll tell you. It's an incredible, incredible time. Because, you know, when you're locked in on what God wants you to do, or just like right now in this moment, and you're outside of your bubble and there's not a thousand distractions coming from every direction, God moves in your life. And you get a new perspective on the things that really, really matter and the things that, you know, you could probably just do without, but you thought were really important before. And the physical work, yeah, it can be exhausting. We're hauling wheelbarrows filled with concrete and all this other kind of stuff, and we think we know what heat is in Florida, and then you go and you're right next to the equator and you find out real quick what heat is. And it's a little bit rough physically sometimes, but I'll tell you, I came home refreshed, renewed, recharged spiritually, but my body still needed rest. But let me ask you, did I give it rest? No, I did not. I got off the plane, and less than 24 hours later, I was preaching here, talking with you all. We landed at 10 a.m., and I was here at the church 6 a.m. the next morning, prepping to preach with you all. And by Tuesday, my body was not functional. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't do anything. I had to set aside time to recharge and renew my body, because while I was refreshed spiritually, I was completely wrung out physically. Here's the other piece. Even when I took the time to do all that, spiritually and physically, the problems that I had left behind, they were still waiting for me. They're still waiting for me. And there's good and bad in that, right? I mean, the bad is they didn't disappear while I was gone or while I was resting. The good is they were still there. They could be dealt with in the proper time. And you would think that I would have learned my lesson from that, yeah? But if you've met me, you know the answer to that question. I told you that God punched me right in the mouth this week, right? So those of you who know there's been a lot going over the last couple of weeks around here. And Monday, we were sitting at home. We had just finished dinner. We hadn't even cleared the table yet. It's not even 6:30. It's a little after 6. And Abby looked at me, and I guess I had a blank expression on my face. I was done. And she looked at me, and she goes, "Go to bed." And I was like, it took me 3 or 4 seconds to hear that sentence. And I said, "What?" And she said, "Go to bed. I got this tonight. It'll be okay." And I said, "Okay. Yes, ma'am." And then I kind of wandered off into the wilderness and into the bed at 6:30 p.m., okay? And every night, we have a bedtime routine where every night at 7:30, we gather together in the living room on the couch and we pray together before we start, you know, getting Elijah in bed and the other two start winding down. So the kids came in to get me to pray, and Daddy was gone. He was like, it was not 7:30, and I was completely out. And I didn't really start being a functioning human again until Friday. And some of you also were here Friday for that. I needed to be up and ready to go for that. But, you know, we have to learn these lessons over and over again. And I came in on Monday to preach. And I told you I write these sermons 3 months out at least. So I came in to preach on Monday. And what are we preaching about? Rest and rejuvenation. And I said, "Okay, God, I'm sorry." We all need time. We all need to take the time to rejuvenate. And that's not something that most of us do very well, is it? And it's an ongoing physical and spiritual process. It isn't something we just do once and then we're good forever. And most of us, we understand at least a little bit the importance of physical rest and rejuvenation. That's why we take vacation, that's why we go to sleep, or we go to get a massage or go to the spa, whatever it is for you. Our bodies demand that we take that time. And if we don't take that time voluntarily, we get sick and we're forced to take that time, or our bodies shut down completely and then we're forced to take that time. But as much as we need physical rejuvenation, we need spiritual rejuvenation as well. And most of us don't give it a whole lot of thought. Or if we do, we're like, "Well, that's what Sunday morning's for, right?" We'll say something like, "Well, I'm coming to church on Sunday. Time to get filled up. Let's go." Or, you know, or if we're not happy about what's going on, we didn't like what happened this last week, we'll say, "I'm just not getting fed here. I'm just not getting fed. I'm not getting filled." Because that's the purpose of Sunday morning. And listen, I hope and pray that you're encouraged by what happens here on a Sunday morning. I hope that you're encouraged and you are filled by praising God. But let me ask you a question. What if there's more to spiritual rejuvenation than attending a one-hour service once a week where you kind of half-heartedly pay attention? And maybe that's a little bit harsh. So let me ask the rest of you who that doesn't apply to. What if there's more to spiritual rejuvenation than attending a 1 hour a week per service where you're totally locked in and taking notes on everything that's being said the whole time? What if there's more to it than that? Why would I think there's more to it than that? Well, because we're in spiritual battles every day of our lives, are we not? Every day. And so many of us in this place today, myself included, are tired. And we're in desperate need of rest. And acknowledging that is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of wisdom. You see, here's the thing. If you ignore this, that's actually arrogance, and it will lead to your destruction, and it will lead to mine as well. Every one of us needs rejuvenation, and we need it often, and we always have. We've been talking about Saul of Tarsus for the last few weeks and kind of following his journey, his reboot. We saw how Jesus flipped his life upside down on the road to Damascus, when his whole world got shattered because all the stuff he thought he was doing for God turns out he was doing against God. He needed a reboot. And then we talked about last week how he got repurposed into the apostle to the Gentiles. He went from being subdued to being saved. He got his new assignment. Now he's the apostle to people like you and like me. But you know what? He didn't start off right away. Did you know? He didn't start right away. He had just gone through major physical and spiritual trauma. So what happened next in Saul's life after he got his assignment? Glad you asked. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. It's in the New Testament. It's the fifth book. If you are following along in the YouVersion Bible app, you can follow along there as well in the live events. We'll have the words on the screen as well. Acts chapter 9, we're going to begin in verse 17, so we're going to piggyback a little bit on what we talked about last week, but I think you'll see why. Check it out. Here's what it says. It says, "Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, 'Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among all who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?' Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah." So what happened here? Now, he spent the next few days after his baptism, many scholars would say many days, several days, be about a month. He spent about a month recovering physically and spiritually, and spending time with the disciples there in Damascus. And during this time, yes, he started preaching Jesus as the Son of God. Now, there would have been several synagogues or churches in the vicinity, and Saul was a pretty well-known guy, as we've discussed, kind of like a celebrity guest speaker coming in saying, "Hey, you mind if I say a word?" And they're like, "Yeah, absolutely, that sounds good." He would have been permitted to speak, and his testimony was powerful. It amazed everybody who heard it. I mean, they were a little bit confused because, you know, he came in to town to round up the Christians, and now he's trying to convince everybody to become Christians. So that's a little bit jarring. But he spent about, we'll call it a month, to recover and rejuvenate physically. But then he goes on a 3-year journey after that, at least in part, to Arabia. Okay, and we learn about that, not from the book of Acts, we learn about it in Galatians. So if you want to hold your place in Acts and flip over to Galatians 1, 11 to 18, this is where we're going to be. We'll come back to Acts in a second. But in Galatians 1, 11 to 18, this is Saul or Paul writing. Here's what he says. "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from who? From Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how I intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Yeah, you could say that. "But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas," or Peter, "and stayed with him 15 days. Now, Saul said that he received a revelation of the gospel from who? From Jesus himself. Well, where did that happen? Well, most likely it happened in Arabia on this trip that he's talking about. And if you've ever read 1 and 2 Corinthians, he tells the Corinthians about these revelations that he received, okay, about these visions that he had of the third heaven, all this stuff. Well, where did that happen? Also, most likely, it happened on this trip to Arabia. So he spent some time in Arabia. I'm not going to put a number how long it was, okay? He spent some time over there receiving visions, revelation of the gospel from Jesus himself. And then, as we read right here, he returned to Damascus. So Damascus, Arabia, back to Damascus to begin his work in earnest. He spends about a month recovering physically, and then 3 years split between Damascus and Arabia, recovering spiritually. But when he returns, there are problems waiting for him. You may have noticed that happens in your life too. They were right there waiting for him. Let's pick it back up right where we left off in Acts chapter 9. It says this, "After many days had gone by," we'll call it 3 years for fun, okay, "there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. So Saul, he gets back to Damascus, he starts preaching, and the Jews can't even believe what they're hearing. Because Saul came here to destroy the church, and here he is, he's building it. See, they thought he was on their side, but apparently he switched teams. And the problem for them was they couldn't refute what he was saying. Being an expert in the Old Testament, they were debating with him, but they were losing all the debates because he knew what he was talking about. And he kept proving over and over and over again the identity of Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. And because they couldn't disprove him, they decided to destroy him. Have you noticed this is the tactic that we still use today? When we start losing an argument, then we start attacking the person instead. Okay? And this is what happened with Saul. They couldn't disprove him, so they decided to destroy him. This man came to, he came to Damascus with an entourage, and he left in a basket through the window. Okay, this turned in a pretty major way, okay? And then he goes to Jerusalem. What happens there? The believers, they're a little bit hesitant, and you might be hesitant too if the guy who wanted you dead 10 minutes ago says he wants to be best friends now. So he shows up, and he's just, they're like, oh, I don't know about this. Saul faces opposition everywhere he goes, but now he's been rejuvenated by Jesus, and he has a mission that's not going to fail. The believers eventually come around and they welcome him. They even help save his life again. We talked a couple weeks ago. You remember when God told Ananias that Saul was going to have trouble, that he was going to suffer? He wasn't kidding, was he? I mean, Saul's just getting warmed up in this stuff. But God was glorified and the church was growing. And some of you today, I'll include myself, you're running on empty. And you're running on empty because you refuse to participate in the rejuvenation that's available to you. And here's what I want to say to you. Recharge. Renew. And you got to do it both ways. You got to do it physically and you got to do it spiritually as well. Like we said a minute ago, it's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. So build a regular time into your life to recharge and renew both physically and spiritually. Well, what's that look like for you? Like practically, what are we talking about here? Well, physically, it means you need to stop working 7 days a week. It means you got to stop working 7 days a week. You know, it's been proven in study after study after study that there's a certain amount of hours that you can work in a week, and once you hit that, your productivity drops right off a cliff. Anybody want to guess what how many hours it is? Maybe you know. Do you know? It's about 50 hours. About 50 hours. Ironically, it's about a six-day work week, and I remember reading somewhere that we should work 6 days and then take a day off and set it aside. It's almost like the person who designed your body knows what's best for it. And he didn't just make up arbitrary rules to control you, but he said, I love you, and I'm telling you the healthiest way to live your life. You need to take your vacation. You need to take your day off. You need to rest. But how about your faith? I mean, that's physically, okay, but how about your faith? Well, maybe you never had much of that. Maybe you never had much of that to start with. Maybe today's the day that you need to put your faith in Jesus for the very first time. If that's you, I'd love to talk with you before you leave. Please don't leave without talking to me. I'll be down here in just a minute. I'd love to chat with you about how to take your next step of faith. And if you don't want to talk to me, you don't want to come down front, that's okay. Find somebody else that's got a name tag on. That means they're an elder or they're staff here at the church. There are so many people here who would love to walk with you through this. It's the most important decision you'll make in your life. But maybe that's not you. Maybe you've been a Christian for a while, and you used to have tons of faith. And over the years, it's kind of grown stale, it's kind of grown cold. Like, yeah, I mean, you're here most of the time, but that's because it's just what we do. It's just kind of a cultural thing. We come as a family, and we sit together, and we do this thing, and you know, it's okay. Can you get that back? Or once it's out, is that fire gone forever? I mean, because, you know, it's not like you get a revelation from Jesus the way Saul did, right? I mean, yes and no. I don't know that Jesus is going to appear to you and give you visions of the third heaven. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to stand up here and say that God can't do anything. He can do whatever he wants to do. What I do know is this. You have the entire inspired word of God in your hand or on your phone right now. And if you don't, come see me before you leave, and we will make sure that you do. Okay? It's available to you at any moment. The entire inspired word of God. And I love what Saul said about it later when he wrote to his protege in ministry, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3. He said this, all scripture is God-breathed or inspired of God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, you and I have a revelation from God that we can study anytime we want to. Over and over and over again, we hold in our hands the Word of God. When's the last time you really stopped and thought about how incredible that is? It's incredible. So let's not take it for granted. Let's take full advantage of this precious gift that we've been given. Because, you know, we don't have to go out into the world, run down, relying on strength from a sermon we heard 20 years ago and barely remember. We're going to set aside time to recharge and renew, both physically and spiritually. And we're going to be in the Word of God every day. Why? Because we face battles every day. And here's the thing. If you need help getting started, please come see us. Please come talk to us. We'll help you get started and get moving in the right direction. We love you, and we're here for you. This matters, folks, because the battles that we're facing now, they're not going to stop. You know, every time you get through one, you're like, man, we're going to rest for a little bit, right? And then you find out the next day there's another one waiting. I know it's not just me. And it wasn't that way for Saul either. The battles that we're facing are not going to end until Jesus returns or calls us home. Saul faced them everywhere he turned. We haven't even gotten to his missionary journeys yet. What's that mean? It means we're going to need some rejuvenation. And we're going to need it more than once. So we're going to take the time that we need to recharge and renew because the mission matters. And what's the mission, church? The mission is to glorify God and make disciples of the nations. Amen? That's what we're here to do. To glorify God and make disciples of the nations. And thankfully, we don't have to do that on our own strength. Praise God, because I don't have the strength and neither do you to accomplish that. I don't even have it. If we do it all together, we're going to need that strength from God. And taking the time that we need to rejuvenate, folks, is not weakness, it's wisdom. So let's exercise that wisdom because the mission matters. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're with us. And that you're there to help us even when we don't exercise that wisdom that we were talking about. That you pick us back up again and again. God, help us to honor you in our work and honor you in our rest as well. Thank you that you sent your son Jesus to give his life for us so that we could be forgiven of our pride and of all the other sin that permeates our lives. Help us to give you glory with every breath that we take. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.